We're starting this morning talking about spiritual circumcision. We're continuing our Bible study lesson on salvation and salvation doctrines. And so if you have your Bibles, turn over to Colossians chapter number 2, the book of Colossians chapter number 2. There's a lot of things that took place the day that you got saved, and I've enjoyed studying through here and learning about these things that God did for us when we got saved. There's a lot of things that folks don't realize took place the very, very moment that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God did a whole lot inside of you. He did not just, die on the cross and then say, trust on me and I'll save you and save you from going to hell. But man, He did a lot of stuff on the inside of you. He did some operations on the inside of you, and He did a marvelous miracle the day that you got saved. And so we've been studying through here in the last couple weeks. We looked at the new birth and how when someone is saved, they are born again. Their spirit is born again. And now when they die, they'll go to heaven to be with the Lord. And we looked at the soul and the spirit in the Bible and some verses on it. But this morning, we're going to look at Colossians chapter number 2 and look at this thing of spiritual circumcision. When it comes to eternal security of the believer, which is what we believe here, what I believe as a pastor, I believe that we are eternally secure. And we figure that out by these studies that we're doing here and by rightly dividing the word of truth. Out of all the salvation doctrines, every single one of them point to a person not being able to lose their salvation. But this one here, I believe, is one of the greatest. And you'll see it as we go through here of how someone cannot lose their salvation. It's because of this thing called spiritual circumcision. What God did on the inside of every person that accepted Christ as their Savior, God did something. And now we have to always keep in mind, and we'll see this as we go through here, but whenever God saved you, He saved your soul, your spirit, and you are a new creature on the inside, but your flesh is still as lost as it was the day that you got saved. Amen? Your flesh still makes mistakes. I don't believe there's anybody in here that's been sinless after salvation, is there? Amen. I see some halos this morning. I'm not wearing one. I am not sinless at all. And none of us are. And the reason is our flesh is still lost. As a saved person, your flesh will not be saved until it gets put in that hole in the ground, until Jesus Christ comes back and He gives us a glorified body, which is also a part of our salvation study that we'll eventually get to in a couple years. Amen. As if it takes us a while to go through here. But I'm not in a hurry. I don't have nowhere to be. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not in a hurry to get through here. All right, so if everyone's there in Colossians, did everybody get a paper? Anybody, Brother Johnny, miss anybody at all? Amen. He can keep his job. Praise the Lord. All right, Colossians chapter number 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2. Man, this is absolute. I love this time of year. Fall is upon us, is it not? Yes. Amen. Nice cool weather. And thank the Lord for the beautiful day He gave us yesterday. Had a great time with the kids at the fall festival. I appreciate some of y'all letting the kids come. And we just had a good time and they really enjoyed it. So Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And so when a person gets saved, this is the top thing on your sheet there. When a person gets saved, his soul and spirit are spiritually cut loose from his flesh or her flesh. When a person gets saved, his soul and his spirit are spiritually cut loose from their flesh. This salvation doctrine is unknown to a lot of Christians. I've talked to people that have been saved a long time, and you talk to them about spiritual circumcision, and it's, they don't understand it. They've never heard it before, and it explains a lot of things when it comes to confusion about eternal security. But God did a wonderful thing when He saved you here in this verse. There in verse number 10, the first thing we see in that verse there, it says, "And ye are complete in Him." Whenever God does something, He does it right. Amen?
Amen?
He does it perfect and He does it right the first time. Whenever He saved your soul, He did it right the first time.
Amen.
He did it so right the first time that you don't have to have it done ever again. Amen?
Amen.
Everything God does, He does it perfect, He does it complete, and He does it without error. And before we even get into spiritual circumcision, which I believe will drive home the thing of eternal security, just the fact that, you know, if we say, and I realize there's some, and even growing up in some of the churches I've been in, I've heard it, that say you can lose your salvation. And they say there's some things you can do to lose it. But in saying that, we're saying what God did for us was not perfect. Amen? We're saying what God did on the cross of Calvary to save our soul and to take us to heaven, we don't have to go to hell, was not perfect and complete. But this verse starts off by saying, ye are complete in Him. This is talking to the church, those that are saved. And we see here that it is referred to, this thing of spiritual circumcision, is referred to as the operation of God. Look there in verse number 12. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of what? Of God. The operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Amen. Are we in the right passage there? Y'all on Colossians 2? Okay, the operation of God. And so this thing is, hey, there's been a lot of people. Brother Scott got operated on this last week. Amen. Y'all continue to pray for him. But that man, we hope he didn't mess up, but man's fallible. I've heard of people having operations done and things were left in their body from the operation. Like tools or whatever, I don't know, amen? That's not a good thing, is it not? But God, He performed this operation. When He does something, it's perfect. Without error, just like we believe the King James Bible is the perfect and errant Word of God. We believe that, amen? The same way we believe that when God saves someone, He does it perfect, without error, and they are saved, amen, forever, eternally. But this operation is referred to as the operation of God. Look there at verse number 11 again. It says, "Whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made..." What's the next two words?
Without hands.
So this operation is not only an operation of God, but it is a spiritual operation. That there is nothing that man can do to save you.
Amen.
And there's nothing you can do to save yourself. This thing of salvation is spiritual, and it's an operation from God, and it's a spiritual operation. Look there in verse number 11. We're gonna look at these here, and then I'm going to get down into this study. In verse number 11, it says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the what?
Flesh.
Of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." So this spiritual circumcision, it involves putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. And I'm going through here. If y'all are following along on your paper, I keep forgetting y'all have those. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Before you got saved, you were joined to your flesh. Your soul and your spirit and your body were all one. They were joined together. Look there in verse number 13. It says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Brother Johnny, will you give Brother Cross one of these real quick? Just came in. Got an extra one there. So whenever, before you got saved, your soul and your spirit was joined to your flesh. And they were connected. Everything your flesh did, your soul and spirit did. If you lied, then your soul and spirit lied, and it was a sinner. And after you got saved, or the very moment that you got saved and you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, there was a spiritual operation, an operation of God in a spiritual circumcision that took place inside of you. And He supernaturally cut your soul and your spirit away from your flesh. That's what these passages of Scripture is teaching us. And He separated those two. And now, whenever your flesh sins, whenever your flesh messes up, and it still does, there's none of us that are perfect. And I'm glad I got one amen there, amen. There's none of us that are perfect. Whenever it sins, the soul and spirit are not affected by that anymore. Amen? When it comes to our salvation. When it comes to our salvation, they're not affected anymore. We've learned in our previous studies and lessons that salvation is not possible without the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God for salvation. We have to have the gospel, the learning about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. He said, Brother Andrew, what tool does God use for this operation of God, the spiritual circumcision that takes place? And the answer is the Holy Spirit of God uses the living Word of God. It's called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17. He uses that to perform the operation of spiritual circumcision. Hebrews chapter number 4, when you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 4, and we're going to look at verse number 12 and 13. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit, and of the what? And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So if you notice there in verse number 12, the joints and marrow, that is a reference to your body. Amen? We all have joints. When y'all woke up this morning, that thing that was hurting to get out of bed this morning, them joints that were hurting, we're reminded of that every day. The joints and marrow, that's a reference to the body. And that's a separate unit from the soul and the spirit. These two units are said to be divided asunder from each other, and it's done by the Word of God. We've heard that verse probably quoted or mentioned countless times throughout our Christian life, but have you ever thought about the context of that scripture, about it dividing the spirit and the soul from the joints and marrow? That's exactly what happened when the spiritual circumcision took place, the operation of God. He separated your soul and spirit from your flesh and separated the two. There's a lot of things that took place the day you got saved. Man, this is one of my favorites when I'm studying through here. Also, if you notice, look there in verse number 13, you see the terms there, His and Him. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in what? In His sight. Well, who is the His? Who is the His talking about? It's talking about the Word of God. Amen? It's talking about, because it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God. And then it goes down through there and then it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do it. The Word of God is spoken of as being a person here in this verse. And you go back, we're not going to turn there for right now, but John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. I'm going to go turn over there before I mess it up here. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse number 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And every time, seems like I preach this, I've had people come up to me sometimes and they'll say, Brother Andrew, are you trying to make the Word of God like the fourth man of the Trinity? And I said, no, I'm making them like the second man of the Trinity. Amen? It said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that man that was made flesh was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so God, the Holy Spirit, He takes the Word of God. And the day that you were saved, the Word of God was present. Every single person in here, if it was not, then you're not saved. You say, do you mean the Bible had to be there? No. The message, the Word of God, the message had to be there. Amen? I believe that someone can, get saved even out of another version as long as that message is there. They're not going to grow as a Christian, and there's a whole lot of problems with using those other versions. But if they can get that Christ died for their sins, He was buried and rose again, that is the gospel message by which we are saved. Amen. And that had to be present the day that you got saved. I've had the opportunity to witness to people and even lead someone to the Lord using a gospel track. Well, that gospel track is not a Bible, but it had the gospel message in it, and it had the scriptures in it, and I was able to lead someone to the Lord with a gospel track. Yeah. Amen. I've been able to quote verses before. The Word of God was present. Well, that Word of God, the Holy Spirit uses that Word, it uses the gospel, it uses that Word to do this spiritual circumcision. The Word of God, again, I said over in Ephesians 6:17, it's referred to as the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Now, I've done this one time, but I've seen it done a lot of times, and I know we got some deer hunters in there. Amen? And every deer hunter's got their pocket knife, and I'm sure there's some men in here got their pocket knife on them, and I've seen them take that thing out, and man, just start cutting everything away. Cutting the flesh and opening it up and getting the meat out and doing stuff. And every time I see that done, in my mind, I'm thinking of the Holy Spirit, the day that I got saved, was in there with that Word of God just cutting that flesh away. Just separating the soul and the spirit. And he made that new man inside of me, that spirit, He made it born again that we talked about a couple weeks ago and last week. And He saved that new man and He made a new creature out of him. And that now that new man on the inside of us, that one that's separated from the flesh, is perfect. It's sinless. That's where Jesus Christ lives inside of every one of us. Amen. After you get saved, you have a split personality. Amen. Before you get saved, your soul and your spirit and your flesh, it's all one big thing. What your flesh does, your spirit does, and your soul does, and all those things. But after you get saved, there's two people living inside of you. There's the old man and the new man. You know what Paul said? You've heard it said often. He said, I die daily. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the old man. Getting up every morning and telling that old man, when you look at him in the mirror, say, you're not going to win today. The new man's the one that's going to win. Whenever you're in a church service after you've been saved and you feel, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, or you feel an excitement in your soul and you hear a song being sung and you get excited about it, that's the new man on the inside that enjoys that. Amen. This old flesh doesn't like sitting through church. Amen? And if we allow the flesh to get the victory, we could sleep right through church or daydream throughout the entire thing. Amen? I know, I see sometimes when I'm looking around the crowd, there's some people that are out on the beach drinking a lemonade and, having a good old time. Just in their mind, they're gone. Amen. They're gone somewhere. Who knows where they're at? And the flesh does that. It does it to me. It gets, the best of me sometimes. And that's this old flesh. And that's why when we preach the things that we preach and when we teach the things we teach, it's all about feeding the spiritual man. Our flesh does not enjoy sitting down and reading the Bible. It doesn't enjoy doing that. It can pick up a secular book and sit there and read for hours on end. But when it comes to the Bible, I've had people say, Brother Andrew, every time I read the Bible, I fall asleep. That's the old man. That's the flesh. Amen. But if we pray and get in the Spirit and all those things, we can enjoy the Word of God and get so much out of it. Now the Bible teaches, turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter number 2. The Bible teaches that the Christian is a spiritual seed of Abraham. A spiritual seed of Abraham. That's in Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. I'll read that for you while you're turning. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. You're turning to Romans chapter 2. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. It says, "And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So if you're saved, you're considered a spiritual, you got to get that spiritual down, not physical, spiritual seed of Abraham. In relation to us being the spiritual seed of Abraham, we are is another reference to spiritual circumcision. If you're there in Romans chapter 2, say amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 2 verse 28. Romans chapter 2 verse 28. The Bible says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one," what?
Inwardly.
"And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." And you got to remember that we studied in our last lesson that the heart has a connection to the soul. And so we have circumcision here that's mentioned in connection with the soul and the spirit, talking about the heart and the spirit. And so here we have another reference to this spiritual circumcision. And we are Jews spiritually. We become a child of God. Now the Jews under the law, according to the letter, that's what that means, the letter there in Romans is talking about the law. According to the letter, the law, they had to be physically circumcised. And they had to do it after so many days. I don't remember, Brother Hodge, what was it? How many days? 8 days or 13 days? 8 days. And so that they had to be circumcised and they had to follow these things in order to be a Jew and a part of God's chosen people. That was a part of their agreement. But whenever we get saved, that circumcision is still there, but it's spiritual and on the inside. Amen? Y'all see that there? Am I confusing anybody? All right. Everyone that is born with their soul stuck to their flesh. Look at Colossians chapter number 2. And we're on point number 3 there on your paper. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 11. When you find your place, say amen. Well, we know everybody's there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. I still hear some pages turning. Everyone is born with their soul stuck to their flesh. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. All right, this is our text verse where we started. "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision, made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." Okay, so I said it earlier, your soul and your flesh and your spirit, they're all connected together. The spiritual circumcision separates the two. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We do a lot of Bible flipping here in our Sunday school. Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 17.
Amen.
Romans 7:17. This is Paul speaking here. He said, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Every single one of us still deal with sin, and we have to fight it and put it off every day as long as we're stuck in this flesh.
Amen.
Amen. And as long as we have to drive on Interstate 65 in the morning. We're going to fight the flesh, amen. We're going to fight some choice words we want to share with people sometimes. All right, look at look at verse 24. Okay, so we see here that sin's in the flesh, and we deal with those things. Paul dealt with them, verse 24. Here's what Paul said. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What he's talking about is this old wicked flesh, this old wicked man, this body that still deals with sin. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I've prayed a similar prayer to this before, or said a similar thing. I'm disgusted with myself sometimes. Like, man, I'm saved, and this old stinking flesh just wants to do things it shouldn't do all the time, and it wants to follow certain ways it shouldn't follow. And Paul got to the point where he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He could not wait for his body to be saved, his body to be delivered. Now, Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived. Amen? And I don't remember if it was Brother Hodge that said it or not. Somebody did right around that time. But they say Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived outside of Christ. Well, Christ was Christ. Amen? He wasn't a Christian. He was Christ himself. I think that was Brother Hodge that said that. I'm not sure. But, so Paul is known to be the greatest Christian that ever lived. This is what the greatest Christian that ever lived said, O wretched man that I am, when will I be delivered from the body of this flesh? And it would do us all good to think this same way, to believe and know that our flesh is wicked and our flesh will do things it should not do. He said, Brother Andrew, why do you preach so much against the things that you preach? I preach against the music and dress and all those things, because all those things have to do with the flesh and pleasing the flesh. Amen? And they lead to things that Christians shouldn't be involved in. Amen? There's a spirit involved with those things. There's a spirit involved with all of it. And it's not the right spirit. And so we need to feed the new man and not feed that old man, that wicked man that's inside of us. And it humbles me to think that Paul, the greatest Christian of all time, he dealt with that sin in his body every day. He said, O wretched man that I am. In verse 18, we saw he said, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We should never, ever trust our flesh. Ever. We should never put it in a situation to trust our flesh. Amen. Never. I mean, and that goes the same too, parents. You should never put your kids in an opportunity where they could do wrong. You say, well, you know, my little Johnny wouldn't do that. Yes, he will, given the opportunity. Why? Because it's his flesh. He's made in sinful flesh. We're made after the similitude of Adam and have a sinful flesh that has to be saved, that has to be born again. Amen? And so every one of us, if given the opportunity and allow our flesh, will make the wrong decision. And I've been doing youth camps for a long time. I've been preaching at youth camps for the last 10 years or more. I've been at youth camp growing up my whole life. I've preached a lot of youth rallies and been in some of the places I go with Brother Scott to detention centers and stuff like that, preached in prisons. And the people are just, I could come across parents that are so surprised because they would say, I didn't think she would ever do something like that. Amen? Amen. I didn't think he would ever do that. Well, that's our sinful flesh. We can't trust it one bit. Amen? Amen. My parents, there was times that they trusted me and they should have never trusted me. You know, they thought I was a good boy and all these things, and I was Sunday school and there with my shirt and tie, and I was amen in the preacher, and there was times they trusted me. They should have never trusted me. And it's because when given the opportunity, our flesh will make the wrong decision if we're not strong spiritually. And so we got to feed that new man and feed that spirit that's inside of us. All right, so sins are connected with our flesh. They're connected with our flesh before, or they're just connected with our flesh, period, before or after salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. One of the reasons that I have social media. I've got the Twitter account and Instagram and that thing, and I put verses on there and stuff and updates about the church and all those things. But Facebook is one of the leading causes of divorce among Christians. Among Christians, not the world, Christians. Facebook is up there with among the leading causes. And the reason is people get on there and they start talking to their old high school sweetheart or somebody they used to know, and it looks greener on the other side of the fence, and they let their flesh take control, and they end up making bad decisions. Amen? And so you got to guard yourself against those things. You got to guard yourself against them. There's people that have problems in their marriage with their husband or their wife, or the wife's got a husband that isn't up to her standard of what she thinks it needs to be, and she gets to work and gets around the water cooler and hears all these ladies talk about how good their husbands are, and ends up finding a guy that seems like he's got everything together, and before you know it, their flesh just allows them to take over and then ends up ruining a family and a home. Amen. Not being just satisfied with what God's given you and praying. Before salvation, we were spiritually dead in our sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you there?
Amen.
Ephesians 2, 1, and you hath he quickened, that's to be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you got saved, we were dead in our sins. Our flesh, our soul, our spirit were all together, and we were dead in our sins. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And we were dead spiritually. We were dead in our sins, dead in our flesh, dead in our spirit, and all those things. A lost man is in his sins because he is in his flesh. Everything his flesh does, that's what he is. His sins are a part of him, and he is a part of his sins. And we're going to look at some examples of that here in just a second. Whatever lost man's flesh does, it contaminates his soul because his soul is stuck to his flesh. Look at John 8:24. John chapter 8, verse 24. John 8:24, if a lost person does not get saved, that person will die in his sins. He'll die in his sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. And I said therefore unto you that ye shall, what?
Die
in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So a person, their sins are connected with their flesh. Before we got saved, we were dead in our sins. And a person that is lost, if they die, they will die in their sins. And they will split hell wide open. Hell's a real place. Amen? And real people go to a real hell where they'll burn for eternity. And I said this several weeks ago, but I've heard people say that, whenever you die, you'll wake up in hell and you'll spend eternity there and you'll never get out, but that's not true. Every person will go to heaven. He said, what do you mean, Brother Andrew? The Bible says that every person is going to stand before Christ. Everybody is going to stand before Christ. So you'll wake up in hell, but one day you're going to get out of hell for just a moment, and you're going to stand before Christ. And if you did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're going to drop off into everlasting hell. And that's not going to be a fun place. So if someone dies, they die in their sins. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, because we've sinned, there had to be a payment for those sins. Either you're going to pay for them, or we accept that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary paid for our sins. The day that I got saved, July of 1995, as a 9-year-old boy, I got down on my hands and knees before Him. I said, Lord, I acknowledge that You died on the cross for my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner. Would You please come in my heart and save me? And when I did that, the Holy Spirit of God came in my heart, and He took that Word of God that was just preached to me, and He cut my soul and spirit away from my flesh. And He saved me that very moment. And I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but we're going to get into the doctrine, the salvation doctrine of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. After we're saved, that new man, that soul and spirit are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and there's nothing that can break that seal. Sarah brings me a jar sometimes that she can't get open. And I'll pop it open and she'll tell me she loosened it up enough for me to get it. Amen? Amen. But that seal right there, when the Holy Spirit's got a seal, no one's breaking that seal. Amen? But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's another salvation doctrine of what took place when you got saved. But whatever a person does, if they don't accept the blood payment of what Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary, and they die, they are dying in their sins, and they have to pay that payment for their sins. But if we would just accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, He takes that payment, and He goes in with that spiritual circumcision, the Word of God, and He saves that new, He creates a new man, a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And He creates that new man inside of you and separates the soul and spirit from the flesh. If a lost person does not get saved, if you're in here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have that time or that place, you don't have to remember the date, but if you don't have a place where you met God and you were to die today, you'll die in your sins. And you'll go to a devil's hell. That's a real thing. Amen? This world wants to, get rid of all these negative things. Everybody love one another, no negative preaching. Well, there's no other way to put it, but if you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell. Hell's a real place. And you don't hear it preached on too much in churches anymore and talked about because it's not a positive thing. I've never heard Joel Osteen preach on hell. Ever. I don't know if he has or not. Has anybody ever heard him preach on hell? Amen. I hope y'all don't listen to that.
I've never heard him.
Never heard him? Amen. You're not missing anything.
That's right.
But some of those big-time preachers, and even the ones on television, and T.D. Jakes and all these big-time preachers, I've never heard any of them preach on hell. If I've come across and never heard hell even mentioned, it's all about you and what can make you feel better about yourself and how to have a better life and how to be better about you and just feel good about everything. Well, you know what? I don't feel good about myself hardly ever. Why? Because of this old stinking flesh. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Amen? You know what I want to feel good about? I want to feel good about the Lord Jesus Christ and magnifying Him up and lifting Him up. This thing's all about Him. It's not about you. It's about Him. But He died on the cross of Calvary so that we do not have to go to hell. We can go to heaven when we die and spend eternity with Him. And He desires your fellowship. You realize God, you say, why in the world would God want a fellowship with me? Well, He does. Amen. Brother Eric, He wants to go fishing with you every Saturday. Amen. And He does. He gives testimony of it. God wants that fellowship. He wants to go fishing with y'all. Amen. He wants to do those things. Whatever it is you like to do, He wants to fellowship with you. And our sinful flesh sometimes, it gets in the way, and we do what we want to do, and our fellowship with God is broken. Amen? But that does not mean we lose our salvation. God is still on the inside, and that part of us is still saved. And when we go to heaven, man, we'll spend eternity with Him. What a wonderful time that will be. But if you're lost in here this morning, and if you were to die today, we're not promised tomorrow we walk out those doors and get in our vehicle and turn out here, man, you could go into eternity just like that.
Amen.
I heard of a 26-year-old boy the other day, went home, nothing wrong with him. He laid down in his bed and fell asleep and never woke up. Gone, just like that. If he was lost, he died in his sins and he woke up in a devil's hell. If he was saved, man, he woke up in the presence of God. In the presence of Jesus Christ, man. That's I have peace in my heart today. There's a lot of things that trouble me sometimes when it comes to the cares of this life. But when it comes to where I'm going when I die, I don't have one doubt in my mind. I know where I'm going when I die. And I know those things because of the Word of God, because of the doctrines in the Word of God, because of spiritual circumcision and what God did for me, and know that He saved my soul. I know where I'm going when I die. When a person gets saved, his soul is cut loose from his flesh. And this is why the Bible says that you can be free from sin. We're going to stop after I look at this. Look at Rome very quickly. Romans 6, 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. All right, Romans 6, verse 18 says, being then made, what? Free from sin, ye became the very the servants of righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 22, a couple verses down. But now being made, what? Free from sin. And become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Look at chapter 8, verse 2. Just should be one page over. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. Do you see the contrast there? A person that is lost, that has not accepted Christ as their Savior, a person that has not accepted Christ as their Savior, they are dead in their sins. They're dead in their sins. Whatever their flesh does, their spirit does, they're dead in their sins. But a person that's saved, that has asked Jesus Christ to come in their heart and save them, they are free from their sins. So what does that mean, Brother Andrew? That means that God took the Word of God and went into your body and cut your soul and your spirit. It's a spiritual operation of God. And went in there and cut your soul and your spirit away from your flesh. And now you are free from sin. That sin no longer has bondage over you. What your flesh does no longer affects the new man. It no longer affects the spiritual man. No longer affects the soul and the spirit. That part is saved. Amen. And we're going to continue through here for a few more weeks and look at some examples the Scriptures give us. We're going to look at next week, and I've got to stop here. We're going to look at next week the fact that we find in the Bible some places that someone is called a liar. That is what they are. They're a liar. Y'all have all read the verse in Revelation that says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, right? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen. Y'all ever heard that before? Liar, liar, pants on fire. You've heard that before. And that is a true statement. You say, well, how is that true? I've lied after I got saved. Well, because of what took place, we're going to look at the Scriptures next week. But you, after you get saved, you're no longer a liar. You lied. You did lie, but you're not a liar. Amen. You say, how is that, Brother Andrew? That new man on the inside of us. You are no longer what you do. Before you got saved, you're a fornicator. After you get saved, you committed fornication. Your flesh did. But that's not what you are anymore. It might look like that on the outside to us, but to God, all He sees is the blood of His Son Jesus Christ on your soul. And He sees that the operation took place, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
And now, you say, does this give me a license to sin? That's the first thing people say. Well, that means I can do whatever I want. No. It does not mean you can do whatever you want. You're not your own. You're a bought with a price. You belong to God now. You need to glorify God in your body, which is His now. You gave your life to Him when you got saved. And you will be miserable as a saved person living the way that you want to live. You'll be absolutely miserable. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Johnny, you pray and ask God to bless our fellowship and ask Him if He'd bless our morning service this morning.
Lord, thank you for this quarter today, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for salvation, dear Lord.